సాత్వికం ప్రోక్తం ఆత్మబుద్ధి ప్రసాదజం యద్దగ్రే విషమేవా పరిణామే అమృతోపమం తత్సుఖం సాత్వికం ప్రోక్తం ఆత్మబుద్ధి ప్రసాదజం యద్దగ్రే విషమేవా పరిణామే అమృతోపమం తత్సుఖం సాత్వికం ప్రోక్తం ఆత్మబుద్ధి ప్రసాదజం. సో వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భగవద్గీత చాప్టర్ నంబర్ 18 వర్స్ నంబర్ 37. సో ఐల్ జస్ట్ రీడ్ ది ట్రాన్స్లేషన్. దాట్ విచ్ ఇన్ ద బిగినింగ్ మే బి జస్ట్ లైక్ పాయిజన్ but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In the pursuit of self-realization, one has to follow many rules and regulations to control the mind and senses and to concentrate the mind on the self. All these procedures are very difficult, bitter like poison. But if one is successful in following the regulations and comes to the transcendental position, he begins to drink real nectar and enjoys life. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya చక్షురోన్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభిస్తం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపా కదామయహం తదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీ గురో శ్రీయుతా పదకమలం శ్రీ గురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపాం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగనా రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సావదేతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగనా లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితంశ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశా గోపికా కాంత శ్రీరాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచనా గౌరాంగీ శ్రీరాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వంశ కల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. So read the translation one more time. That which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So once again, we welcome you all. So today I was just coming with my friend, and he was visiting me from US, and he was just wondering that, like, you know, so you started giving Sunday feast. Wow, that's so amazing, because he was my Shiksha Guru and he was visiting me. So he just asked me that, are you nervous? So I have given one Sunday feast maybe a couple of months ago. So I said, I have given one Sunday feast, so I think I'm okay, you know, I don't think so I'll be nervous. But now looking at all you wonderful Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, I'm really nervous now. So please pray for me so that whatever I can speak. Thank you for making me some more nervous. So before we start, I would like to seek the blessings of all my senior Vaishnavas who are sitting here. So please bless me so that whatever I can speak from the Shastras can be helpful to all of you and to me as well. And as you all go for movies, or may not be going, but earlier you may have some memory of your movies, so there is a disclaimer that comes, right? That whatever the characters see you in these movies are all fictitious. The actor who are playing the role has nothing to do with the real person who has whatever the true story, right? So they put a disclaimer there. So before we embark on our journey of Srimad Bhagavatam, I would like to warn you, and maybe a disclaimer, that whatever I'm going to speak is whatever I heard from my senior Vaishnavas. And specifically when I was preparing this class, I heard a lot from the classes given by His Grace Radhe Shyam Prabhuji. So it's nothing on my own, it's the borrowed bloom. So, and as Prabhupada also said, just go and repeating the words that you have heard from your seniors. So that's what I'm just trying to do. So as we see in this particular verse, it's saying that what tastes like poison in the beginning turns out to be a nectar in the end. So I was just wondering what I can connect in Srimad Bhagavatam regarding this poison and the nectar. So the very first thing that just came to my mind is the churning of the milk ocean. So today we'll discuss this wonderful katha of churning of the milk ocean. So what we'll do is, there are millions of lessons that can be learned from this particular pastime. So for the benefit of everybody, because everyone likes to be seeing the action-packed things and some stories and things like that. So probably what we'll do is, first we'll just complete the story, and then we'll come back to the story and we'll try and see what lessons we can learn from each of the events that are happening in this particular episode. And this episode is full of events. So what happens? So as you see in the movies, some hero comes in the beginning, the entry comes. So here in this particular episode, our most dear devotee, Indra, is riding, not on a Mercedes, but he was riding on an Airavat elephant, who is much, much more costlier and invaluable, to be very honest, right? You cannot have such opulent to have an Airavat. So he was riding on an Airavat and he was just going around. And at the same time, there was a Durvasa Muni, who is completely opposite of what Indra is, right? Indra has so many opulence and so many things, where Durvasa Muni is completely ascetic. He did not possess practically anything, right? So he was also just going across probably the same path where Indra was going, and somehow or other they encounter each other. And Durvasa Muni, being pleased with Indra somehow, he thought, let me just offer him this garland that I have received from none other than Lord Shiva. So he takes out his garland and gives it to Indra. Now Indra, as usual, suffering from his pride, he did not realize the value of this garland. And he thought that, yeah, of course I deserve this, I deserve this garland, what's the big deal? So he took that garland. Rather than wearing around his own neck, what did he do? He gave that garland to Airavat. And of course, Airavat being an animal, he did not realize what the potency of this garland, right? So he put that garland under his feet and he crushed it. He trampled on this garland. So looking at that act, Durvasa Muni got very upset. And he said, you did this to a Maha garland that I received from Lord Shiva? I cursed you that because of this pride, you have so much of this thing that you did this. I curse you that you lose all your opulences and you become a poverty stricken. And as soon as Durvasa gave that curse, the Indra lost the next battle that he had with all the demons. He lost the battle. He lost everything. So all the demons collected whatever Indra had. They took everything away from Indra. So Indra practically became poverty stricken, along with all his entourage that he has of all the demigods. Right? So they were completely bereft of anything and everything. So they were very depressed, right? So what do you do when you become depressed or when you are in difficulties? So the basic thing that they do is they all go to their head. And who is their head? Is Brahmaji. So they all went to Brahmaji and requested that, you may be knowing, but let me just explain you that what is our situation is, the demon attack us and we are completely bereft of anything and everything. We don't have anything. We are poor beggar now. So please help us. How do we regain our opulences and our prestige? So Lord Brahma said, even I cannot do anything. So what do they do if even Brahma cannot help them? So they all go to Lord Vishnu. So they all went to Lord Vishnu, who is at the Svetadvip, at the milk ocean. So they all went and started offering very wonderful prayers to Lord Vishnu. And as they started offering prayers, the Lord Vishnu was hearing their prayers. And like, you know, they knew that Lord Vishnu stays here, but there is nothing visible to them other than the ocean. So they were just went on praying and praying and praying. But they had a faith that Lord will appear soon. So while they were praying with that faith, the Lord appeared to their great surprise. And as the Lord appeared, the very first thing they said is, my dear Lord, you know everything. But just for the benefit, we'll repeat what a predicament there we are in. So they started explaining that, like, you know, we have bereft of everything. And like, you know, you really need to help us. Even if we need to function as a demigod, we really need your help to regain our powers. So Lord told them that, yes, I do understand your situation. But please note that your time is not right. So we'll come back to this time factor once we complete the story. So Lord said, your time is not right. So what you need to do is you need to make a treaty with the demons. He said, treaty with the demons? How is that possible? He said, yes. Time teaches everybody. Time is the best teacher. You better make a treaty with all the demons. So Indra accepted. He says, okay, we will make a treaty with the demons. So what they did next? And he said, along with the treaty, I'll give you a plan. I really like that word. I think in one of the, like, you know, story of Amala Bhakta, he writes the stories of, in a story form, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he writes that the Lord gave them a project. And I'm being a project manager, I really like that word, a project. So the demigods received a project from the Lord himself. And what that project is? He said, you go and make a treaty with the demons and told them that we are going to, like, you know, churn the milk ocean and the nectar will come out and we will have that nectar. So we'll be all become immortal. And of course, like, you know, we have heard the stories of Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarna. They all were doing so many austerities to do what? To become immortal, right? So the demon loved that idea of becoming immortal. So Lord gave them this plan. So all the demigods headed by Indra, they all went to the abode of Bali. And what was the abode of Bali? It's called Tripura. So that's the place they all went. And as soon as they went, all the demons were very, like, you know, angry as soon as they saw the demigods. And they were saying, come on, kill them. Like, you know, as soon as they entered, like, you know, the very first word that Indra and all his demigods heard is, kill them, right? So they were very fearful, but somehow or other they had a faith in the Lord's words. So they proceeded further, somehow or other, and they went to the assembly of Bali Maharaj. And like, you know, they said, we have come to do a peace treaty. So they all demons started laughing. Peace? Sarcastically, you demigods are our eternal enemies and you're talking about peace? What's going on? Says, no, we really want peace and, like, you know, we are here to, like, you know, make a treaty with you all. And we have come up with the proposal. He said, oh, proposal? What's the proposal? He said, we have a proposal to churn the milk ocean. And by churning that milk ocean, we will get a nectar. So as soon as the demons heard the word nectar, they were all, like, you know, lit up. He said, wow, nectar. So they said, oh, yeah, tell us more about it. So Bali Maharaj asked Indra, okay, come sit next to me and explain me about your proposal. So he said, yeah, we will churn the milk ocean and we'll get a nectar. So suspiciously, Bali Maharaj asked Indra, what made you think that there is a nectar in the milk ocean? Who told you this? So as soon as he said that, Indra said, Lord Vishnu told us so. So as soon as Bali Maharaj heard the name of Lord Vishnu, he was completely passive and he said, yes, that makes sense. Because whatever Lord Vishnu is going to see, is going to be true. He says, okay, so we will do this, but why do you need us to churn the milk ocean? He said, we need you because it requires a lot of manpower. We alone cannot do it. Okay, so we will help you. But once the nectar comes out, who will keep the nectar? He said, okay, nectar comes out and we will share it. So all the demons said, okay, yeah, that sounds like a good proposal. You will share the nectar with all of us. Let's go and do that. So as soon as they had all this thing worked out, they all embarked towards the milk ocean. Demons and the demigods both. So as soon as they came to the milk ocean, they realized they need a rod to churn this, right? So they said, yeah, what we do is, the rod is the Mandara mountain. And this Mandara mountain is made up of gold. We'll come to that part. I'm just giving you all these adjectives so that we'll come back and understand what it means, right? So he says, this mountain is made of gold and we will use this as a churning rod. He said, okay. So let's go and get the Mandara mountain. So they all went to the Mandara mountain and they uprooted it. And they were practically carrying it with their supernatural power. They were they somehow lifted it and they were carrying it with all these shouting slogans Jai Ho and whatever, right? As we see many people, they have to carry Haisa and all those things. They were carrying it with so much of this thing. They reached practically a quarter of their journey to the milk ocean and they got very tired. And they lift whatever the mountain they were lifting, they had to put it down, and when they were putting it down, it came crashing, that mountain. It's not you are just lifting some small book or something like that. It's a big mountain that you are lifting, and then it they couldn't lift it anymore. It just came down crashing. So many of the demons and the demigods were died under this mountain. Many were broken limbs, legs, and so many things. But immediately, to their great surprise, Lord Vishnu appeared on the Garuda carrier. As soon as the Lord came, all the demigods were shouting, Jai Vishnu ki Jai, like that. And Lord, with just one hand, he lifted the mountain. And he glanced at all the dead bodies of the demons and the demigods, all came alive. And who were having bruises and who were having broken arms and the legs and shoulders and all kinds of things, they immediately got healed. And the devatas were very happy to see this miracle. And they again shouting Lord Vishnu ki Jai. But demons were not shouting that. Demons said, it's okay. Come on, let's go. They were all focusing on the nectar. We want nectar. So the Lord, now they cannot carry any further, right? So Lord took the mountain and placed it on Garuda and flew to Milk Ocean. And along with that, all the demigods and the demons followed him. So now they are all at the Milk Ocean. Now once you have a churning rod, what else do you need to churn it? You all see Mother Yashoda churning, right? So you need a rope. So where do you find a rope which can go around this Mandara mountain, which is so huge? So they called for Vasuki, right? So before they called for Vasuki, what Lord Vishnu did? He asked Garuda that now you can go. Your work is over. So the Garuda left. And in the meantime, they called for Vasuki. Now remember all these things, okay? We will revisit this. So now that Vasuki was there. So Vasuki said, okay, you want me to use as a churning rope, but what will I get? Right? Everybody's interested in what will I get? What's in it for me? Right? As they call it. So he said, of course, we will share the nectar with you also. So sure enough, the Vasuki was interested to get the nectar. So he was allowing himself to be used as a churning rope. So they put the mountain in the middle of the milk ocean and they started churning with the Vasuki, one side the demons and the other side of the demigods. And they were churning, but because there was no base, the mountain fell again in the ocean, splashing the big big time. You know, the mountain fell. Now all the demigods and demons were again depressed. And, oh my God, what do we do? Now the mountain practically drowned in the ocean. So as they were mortals, the Lord was still there, right? So Lord Vishnu says, don't worry, we'll do something. So that's where the beautiful avatar of Kurmadev, very beautiful avatar of Kurmadev appeared, right? And that Kurmadev, does anybody remember the size of the Kurmadev? You see many tortoise, so, but this is not the ordinary tortoise. It's the extraordinary tortoise, as Prabhupada translates that. Right? It's a divine tortoise. Because the Lord Himself became the tortoise. And the size of that tortoise was 8 lakh miles. 800,000 miles. Because the mountain is so huge, so you need that big base. Right? So now the Lord underwent the milk ocean, and suddenly they were seeing the peak of the mountain coming up. Slowly, slowly some more mountain came and they were all became very happy. So now they got a very wonderful base as Kurmadev. Right? Now the mountain came up. The Vasuki also now visible. They were about to churn it and they realized it's still not that steady. Right? So what did it needs now? It needs the support from the top. So Lord again incarnated as Ajita, who had 1,000 arms. So he went on top of the mountain and sat in the Padmasana and he was just holding the mountain with one hand only. Even though he had 1,000 hands, one hand was enough to hold the mountain for the Lord. That's what the beauty of the Lord, right? So beautiful. So now they got a very steady rod. They have a nice rope to do it. And now they wanted to start. The Lord was holding the front side of the snake. And by the way, the Vasuki is also 1,000-hooded snake. Okay? So the Lord was holding and all the demigods, of course, goes to the side of the Lord. And they gave the demons the tail side of it. So demons did not like it. He said, come on, the tail is inauspicious. And the mouth is auspicious, the front part. So we want the front part. So Lord says, okay, you guys are powerful, you take the front part. And Lord purposely hold the front part, knowing what's going to happen. So he said, okay, if you all want a front part, we'll give you the mouth. We'll go to the tail side of the snake. So they all went to the tail side of the snake. The demons came to the front side. They again started doing this. And while they were doing it, now it is really happening, you know. Because earlier it was, nothing was happening so far, right? But now it is, churning is happening. So all the, the living entities in that milk ocean, the crocodile and the shark and the whale and all these creatures were getting agitated. But these people were not at all agitated. They were very focused. We want the nectar. So they were just going back and forth with this churning process. But while they were churning, another thing was happening. And as they were holding the front part of the snake, because the snake was like, you know, getting really friction now with the mountain. So he started like, you know, oozing out all the fire and the smoke and all those things, right? So all the demons practically were holding the mouth. They were getting all the smoke and the fire and they were getting really like, you know, blackened out with that. And of course, the other side also the smoke was coming and the fire was coming out from the, like, you know, front side and then it was going to the back side as well. So all the demigods and the demons again, like, you know, was very getting tired. So the Lord said, okay, I need to do something. So you know what Lord did? He immediately called for a rain and a wonderful wind. So because of the rain and the wind combination, all these demigods and demons again got rejuvenated. And they again started churning. But again, like, you know, things were not coming out. Because, you know, the churning requires, like, you know, a lot of things. I don't know if the ladies do some churning of the buttermilk or the, like, you know, this thing and, like, you know, try to get the makhan out of it. You know some process, like, you know, how it takes a while, right? But this is a milk ocean. They were trying to do this. It was very, very difficult. So this time the Lord thought, let me just help personally. So the Lord personally started churning back and forth. And it was such a beautiful sight that the Lord Himself was churning this milk ocean. It was so beautiful. And sure enough, when the Lord starts churning, the things should start surface, right? So as soon as the Lord starts doing it, the very first thing came was very, very surprise and very fearful to all the demons and the demigods. You know what they were seeing? They were seeing a very, very deadly poison named halahal. So they got very frightened with this poison. It was so horrible that if it is not administered or it is not taken care immediately, or maybe within a short span of time, everyone will be killed. Not just the demons and the demigods, but every creature in the whole planet and the entire cosmic manifestation will be killed. It's that deadly poison. So now this time, Lord has been helping. As you've been attentive to the story, you must be realizing that the Lord has been helping so many things, right? Right from the beginning to give the treaty proposal, give the idea in the first place, right? To churn the ocean, the milk ocean, and then bringing up the mountain as they were not able to carry it, then coming and putting it on the Garuda, becoming a Kurma avatar to becoming a base, holding on the top. So many things the Lord was doing, right? He's capable of doing everything and anything. But here, when the poison came, the Lord mercifully thought, let this glory go to one of my devotees. And then the Lord told all the demons and the demigods that go to Lord Shiva. He's the one who can help you with this poison. So they all went to Lord Shiva. They all went to where? Where Lord Shiva stays? Mount Kailash. Right? So they all went to Mount Kailash. And who is always with Lord Shiva? Mother Parvati. Right? So they all went and started offering prayers to Lord Shiva. And as they were offering prayers, they explained their predicament that we need your help. Sometimes I wonder, demons and demigods, how do they go and ask somebody to take poison? Can you imagine? Right? So they all went and asked Lord Shiva that please help us. How do we get rid of this poison? So Lord Shiva is a very, very obedient husband. Okay, so first he seeks permission of Mother Parvati. And before seeking the permission, he says one very wonderful statement, very wonderful line that comes in Srimad Bhagavatam as well. Where Lord Shiva says that when one helps others, Supreme Lord becomes extremely pleased. When one is ready to offer a kind help to others, the Lord becomes extremely pleased. And after that, he says, would you mind if I help them? So Mother Parvati says, of course. And Mother Parvati, of course, knows the supernatural powers of Lord Shiva and having a full faith that Lord Shiva can definitely do this wonderful act of helping them with the poison. So they all went, Mother Parvati and Lord Shiva went with demigods and the demons to the milk ocean. And he extended his palm like this, and all the poison, like a snake slithers in, like all the poison started getting collected in his hand, and he started drinking the poison. And the few drops that fell, all his associates, being a snake and the scorpion and others, they tasted that few drops of this halal poison as well. So the Lord completely did that, and while he was drinking that halahal poison, his neck started turning blue. And it was becoming such a beautiful sight. And from that onwards, Lord Shankar was known as Nilkanth Mahadev. Nilkanth Mahadev ki! Yeah. So such a beautiful sight. And then once that is being done, now again the demigods and demons says, let's now come on, churn it. The Lord was also personally helping them. They started churning it again. And they were wondering why the nectar is not coming out. So while they were churning, to their great surprise, the next thing comes out is Surubhi cow. And the Surubhi cow came. They all gave it to the rishis, because all the Brahma rishis, they need to do a lot of yajnas. So they need a lot of milk, yogurt, they need ghee, all kinds of things. So they gave their Surubhi cow to all the Brahma rishis. And then while they were churning, the next thing comes out is the white horse, Uccheshrava. So Bali Maharaj claimed that horse. After that comes Airavat, that elephant with the four tusks, very beautiful white elephant that comes out. So Indra claims that elephant. After that comes Kalpavriksha, that goes to the Swargaloka. After that comes the Parijata tree, that is again goes to the Swargaloka. Then comes the Kaustubha jewel that has been given to the Lord Vishnu. And then comes Rambha, the Apsaras. And then comes Mother Lakshmi. And there's a wonderful pastime. If you just go like, you know, we can't go to the other side of the, like, you know, the lessons from the story. So when the Mother Lakshmi comes, like, you know, she is looking for a husband, right? But she did not find anybody who is devoid of any faults. So demigods and demons and everybody had something or the other in them. And she was looking for a faultless person. And she ultimately approaches Lord Vishnu. And Vishnu accepts her. And she says, why am I marrying him? Because he is not looking after me. I am looking for Vishnu. That's the qualification of a person. That's what she describes in that wonderful episode of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Mother Lakshmi marries to, givens to Lord Vishnu. And after that comes Varuni. And that's been taken by, of course, the demons, right? It's an intoxicant. So the demon takes that Varuni part. Like that, one after another, different things were coming out. I believe there are about 13 things came out of the churning process. And then finally, they were like, you know, very eager for nectar. And then finally they see there is a very effulgent looking and a very beautiful who is wearing a yellow garments. Dhanvantari comes to the surface holding a vase or a pot. And they were wondering, what is this? So they ask, what you are holding in your hand? And Dhanvantari, sure enough, replies, it's a nectar. So all the demons and the demigods, they were so blissful, so rejuvenated, they were just shouting, joy, joy. And they were like, you know, very eager for the nectar. And when the Dhanvantari comes to the shore, all these greedy demons, they did not even wait for a second and they snatch the vase or the pot, the nectar pot from Dhanvantari. And they ran away. And as soon as the demigods, the devatas, when they saw, they were wondering, my God, like, you know, we see the nectar coming out and we see now it's in the hand of the demons. I don't think so all these demons are going to share with us. It's gone. It's a lost battle now. What do we do? They were completely depressed, morose. And sure enough, when they completely become morose and depressed, where do they turn to? They turn to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu says, don't worry, everything will be all right. Don't worry, let it go. You will see what's going to happen. I have a plan. So, of course, the demigods have a full faith in the Lord. So they said, okay, let's see what's going to happen. And then when they were seeing this, suddenly they saw all the demons started fighting. The other one said, it's mine. The third one says, no, it's mine. First one says, no, I'm going to drink it alone. They all started fighting like crazy. And the demons also have a category, right? They have some strong demon, some weak demon, like that, right? So the weakest demon, the weak demons, they said, like, you know, because they cannot fight with them. And they were seeing that, like, you know, their chance is also going to go away. Probably they may not get the nectar at all. So you know what they did? They did exactly the same thing what our secular people do. You know what they did? They said, come on. The demigods also equally worked hard for this nectar. And they also deserve the nectar. You must share the nectar with the demigods. And the demons were wondering, what's happening to you guys? We are all demons and you are worrying about the demigods? No, they don't deserve any of the nectar. We deserve the nectar. We will drink the nectar. But they were fighting amongst each other. Like, you know, another demon snatched it from the first one. The third one snatched it from the second one. And like, you know, it was just going, like passing the parcel. You know, I was just wondering, what's going to happen with this? And while this was happening, it was completely chaos. Worse than our parliament. It was completely chaos. And at that time, Lord appeared as Mohini Murthy. And she was so enchanting. Lord appeared as a young girl. And she was so enchanting. All the demons who were, like, you know, holding the pot, they were just completely mesmerized by the beauty of Mohini Murthy. And believe me, they completely forgot about the nectar. They were just gazing at her with all their lusty desires and all kinds of things. They were just looking at her. And then Mohini Murthy approached towards them and just inquired them, what's going on? And they very honestly said, we have a nectar and we have a dispute among ourselves. Can you just help resolve the dispute? So I'm not going to go so much in the details because it's another, like, you know, there is a complete chapter of Mohini Murthy, how she bewilders all the demons. But we will say it in a very brief. So she says, oh, it's a nectar? So all the demons says, yeah. But like, you know, we have a trouble understanding and like, you know, we can't distribute among ourselves. So can you please help us distribute? So she says, sure, why not? So they practically gave the nectar pot to her in her hand. And she says, okay, but you know, do you believe me that I will distribute it and are you okay with it? He says, yeah. Because they were completely enchanted by her beauty. So she took the nectar pot and she said, you know what, you guys are so strong. You know, you demons are so strong and you are so mature. Would you mind if I give this small few drops to these weak demigods? Is that okay? So they were wondering, yeah, why not? We are strong, we are mature. Now she is saying, so let's, yeah, you go ahead, because they were so enchanted by her. So they were all agreeing. And such a beauty here is the Lord in the form of Mohini Murthy are telling that you are trusting me. That is your wonderful side. But please note that I may be honest or dishonest. Okay? I may do anything I like with the nectar. Okay? I may be completely dishonest. Are you okay with that? But they were so enchanted by her beauty. They said, yeah, we are completely okay. Do whatever you like. You know? So she took the nectar and like, you know, she was saying, would you mind if I first give it to the demigods? They are so weak and so immature. They are so impatient. You are so well built. So all these rakshasas were like, you know, showing their muscles and all kinds of things. And like, you know, wow, we are great. So he says, okay, yeah. And some demons were wondering like, you know, what's happening? Like, you know, we should not allow this to happen. But the strongest demons were saying, no, you go ahead and do it whatever you like. So she started giving the nectar to the demigods. And they were not realizing that what's happening. But one demon was very, very intelligent. Who was that? Rahu. So he disguised himself as demigod and sat in the queue of demigods. So while Mohini Murthy was serving the nectar, one after another demigod, and they were enjoying this nectar. Of course, Lord knows everything, but there is a leela of the Lord, right? So as soon as she came to Rahu and gave that even a one drop, and the sun, who is the eternal enemy of Rahu, realized that, my God, he is the demon, Rahu, and sitting in disguise as demigods. So Mohini Murthy immediately bring out the Sudarshan Chakra and cut off the head of Rahu before the nectar drop goes into the rest of the body. So the Rahu still exists as a head because the head became immortal. The body died, right? But the head became immortal. And that's what's still surviving. And by the time the demon realized, all the nectar was consumed by all the demigods. And that they had a big battle. And of course, you can imagine who can win after having the nectar, right? So they all gained this power and they all became victorious. And that is how the Lord gave them their lost possessions and everything else. So that's how the demigods came back to the power and get all their possessions and everything. So this is how this wonderful story is being weaved. And it's so fantastic. I highly recommend all of you that go and read these sections from Srimad Bhagavatam. There are so many wonderful verses coming and it's so beautiful. This story is so wonderful. So now let's go and understand what's going to happen in this different events that we saw. So before that, let me just tell you a small story. So once there was a father, and he had a son, and the son was a college going son, so he had a specs, right? Because they study a lot, right? So they get specs. Why you're nodding the head? They don't study. They have these mobiles and TVs. That's what they how they get the specs, not by studying, right? So he was having a spec, and what is the first thing they want to do when they go to the college? They want to impress the other party, right? So he requested the father that, can I have a contact lens? You know, the specs are like, you know, double battery, single power. A lot of people like make fun and all these things. So I don't want specs. I want to have a contact lens. So the father was like, you know, lower middle class, somehow or other, like, you know, from the savings. He says, okay, beta. Always, like, you know, the parents wants to have a, like, you know, good for the children. So they bought a very costly contact lens, nice contact lens for his son, going to the college very nicely, impressing everybody. So one day he was home, and somehow that he was cleaning his lens or something fell in his eyes or whatever, right? So the lens fell, contact lens, and he lost it in the home, okay? So the father said, what happened? So he was practically searching the lens, right? So he said, what happened? He says, father, you know, like something went into my eyes and the lens dropped and I'm not able to search it anymore. So I think we have to get another pair. So father said, you know, my son, like, you know, you search hard. I think it's in home only, right? You did not drop out. Said, no, it's fell in the home only. So he said, why don't you just search hard? I think you should be able to find it. So he said, no, father, I searched very hard, but I'm not able to find it. Sorry, can we just get another pair of lens, please? So the father said, okay, let me search myself. Okay. So the father practically got on his knees and, like, you know, looking under the sofa, looking everywhere. And practically after 15, 20 minutes, he found the lens. So can anybody guess why father could find it and not the son? Excellent. Prabhuji is saying he was searching for 1,000 rupees, not the lens. Because the father knows that how hard he has to work, how he has to work like a donkey to get whatever he is to get for his family. Right? From a lower middle class, the kind of job he has to do, multiple jobs sometimes the people have to do. But this son, who is going to the college, had no idea that how that money is coming, how he is getting his daily roti sabji, how is he getting his books, how is he getting his fees paid for it. He did not realize that how much endeavor goes behind this. So he was taking it lightly. Isn't that the experience with all of you, with your kids? At least I do. Right? Pen kho gaya. And you find it is just there. You know, you are seeing it and it says pen kho gaya. Ye kho gaya. And you ask them to find it. No, I tried everything. So I give them one mantra that, okay, you do one thing. Like, you know, now you meditate and think where all things that you have done with that particular book or whatever. Right? And then somehow or other they still cannot find it. It's a very simple thing because they don't value money. But somehow or other we must give them that value for money. So similarly, many times we read Srimad Bhagavad Gita as we saw very wonderful drama, right? All this North Zone has presented a very, very wonderful drama where the devotees are trying so hard, right, for these books to go. Why? Because they know that even a one verse of this Bhagavad Gita, if you practice it, your life will be perfect, right? Practically, they were going to the offices to offices and so much luggage, like 50 kgs and so many, very wonderfully presented, right? So, what happens that people take this and what do? They put it in the home, at the max, they put it in their altar and they show it the agarbatti, right? That's it. So, it's the same thing as the kids that we have. They're not knowing the value of the money. Similarly, these people who are having the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in their home, they are not knowing the value of it. That is why they are not able to take shelter of it. So similarly, if we go through the pages of Srimad Bhagavad Gita and try to find those values, which you will definitely find if you are a genuine seeker, like that father who knows what he is looking for. Right? As he very rightly said, he was not looking for the lens, he was looking for that money because he knows how hard it is to get that. So similarly, if you are looking for those jewels, you will find it in Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam for sure. So let us all be attentive and try to find those jewels through this Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So what is the first thing that happened in this story? Let's have a memory test. Durvasa Muni and Indra. Right? So what was the problem with Indra? Pride. Right? So that is what we all see. It's very easy for us to say that, you know, he had a problem with the pride. But we are all suffering with pride. We are all suffering. We are all very good in, like, you know, making advice to others. Right? Haan, usko aisa karna chahiye tha. हाँ, प्रधानमंत्री को ऐसा करना चाहिए, ये करना चाहिए। मोदी वो ठीक है यार, वो कर रहा है, पर कुछ हो नहीं रहा है। एवरीबडी सिंह अच्छे दिन कहाँ आ रहे हैं? अच्छे दिन कहाँ आ रहे हैं? वॉट बट लाइक यू नो, इफ आई बीन एज इफ यू आर अ प्राइम मिनिस्टर, यू कैन चेंज एवरीथिंग इन द नेक्स्ट डे, राइट? सो इट्स इजियर सेड देन डन, राइट? सो दैट्स वेयर अवर प्राइड इज। वी जस्ट लाइक यू नो, वी आर सो प्राउड ऑफ अवर थिंग्स एंड वी जस्ट डोंट रियलाइज वॉट वी डू, राइट? सो इट्स वेरी नाइसली सेड बाय राधेश्याम प्रभु दैट when you try to enjoy, when you try to enjoy, you actually suffer. You actually suffer when you try to enjoy. But when you try to serve and please the Lord, that is where you become blissful. And it is a fact. Believe me, all this enjoyment in this world is so superficial. You try one thing and the second thing is waiting for you. Right? Sometimes it is said that the source of happiness becomes a source of distress in this world. There's a wonderful episode comes in Srimad Bhagavatam again. There are so many jewels in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's Chitraketu Maharaj. Right? He was suffering. I don't have a child. If I get a child, I'll be the happiest person on this earth. I must have a child. And when the child came, the child died after some time. Right? That same source of happiness became the source of distress. Right? So that's the lesson that we learn from this, that we should not try to enjoy, because being the demigods, they also try to please the Lord. But what is the weakness of the demigods? They want to enjoy. They are like Karma Mishra Bhakta. So as we. But we have to learn a lesson that we don't want to become a Karma Mishra Bhakta. Even though we know we are, right? But slowly but surely, we have to give up that enjoyment mentality. And try to imbibe the mentality of service. That is very, very important for us. Right? Now then, what happens after that? Indra, they lost everything. Right? And then what do? They go and pray the Brahmaji. Brahmaji, then they go to the Lord. Right? Once they go to the Lord, what's happening? They are not seeing the Lord first, but they have a faith. They have a patience. Right? So sure enough, we keep patience, we keep faith, we will also experience Supreme Personality of Godhead in our life as well. Now the Lord appeared, and what is the very first thing the Lord told them? That your time is not good, right? That is why all the astrologers, they earn a lot of money, right? Because samaya achha nahi chal raha hai, there is something wrong with my time. So let me find out when this bad time is going to be over and when the good time is going to start. Right? That is how we do it. So it's a fact that, like, you know, astrology, please, I'm not trying to, like, you know, claim that astrology is bogus or anything. Astrology is a pure science. It also comes into our Vedic thing. But as it is said, you should not become a victim of astrology. You should utilize it as a tool. You should not become dependent on astrology. You should use it as a tool. Right? So now the Lord is saying that your time is not good, you have to keep patience. And Lord told them three things. Don't be fearful, don't be greedy, and don't be angry. These three things, he said, and along with these three things, keep patience. That's very, very important. You have to keep patience. Because believe me, many times, being it a devotional service, even in your material life, we don't keep patience and we jump the guns early and we make a mess out of it. We make a mess out of it. And there is a story around it. Once there was a small boy and the parents were having that small boy and they had a pet mongoose in home, right? So it was very wonderfully happening. Everything was going nice. So one day, the father and the mother had to go to the nearby village to attend a marriage. And they were wondering, we'll just keep the, small baby here and our pet mongoose is there, so we don't have to worry, nothing is going to happen. So they went to the nearby village, and when they came home, they saw that the boy was bleeding. Okay, the boy was bleeding and the mouth of the mongoose was bloody. So they immediately concluded that this mongoose was trying to kill my son. So they became so upset They started beating the mongoose and they practically killed the mongoose. And while they were just going outside, they found a dead big cobra snake. And they realized, my God, this mongoose was trying to save our son from this deadly cobra. And he was fighting with the cobra. And the cobra stung and beat. That's why he was bleeding. Not because he tried to bite my son. So you come to conclusion so fast and you don't keep patience. This is what happens. Similarly with our kids also. Isn't it we being a parent, we want to give so many valuable lessons to our kids. Right? We want to give them the virtue and so many things. Right? So if, let's say there is a birthday party or something, and that's what I have seen with my eyes. And probably maybe I can do the same thing. There's a birthday party. All the kids are coming. And the birthday boy, that time gets the royal treatment. And of course, the kids come. What do? They are very innocent, right? So they start playing with your toys. Right? And this boy, somehow or other, was not giving any toy to anybody. So the father was becoming very upset that I want my child to be charitable. I want my child to be generous. I want my child to be sharing with others. So he became thinking, I must teach him charity. I want my child to be charitable. So what he did? He snatched the toy from his son's hand and gave it to the boy who was there. Because I want him to learn charity. Is that the way the child is going to learn charity? He will become agnostic to his father. But believe me, right now, because we are in proper mindset, we can say, yeah, this does not make sense. But believe me, when it comes to us, when it's our home, when it's our son's birthday, and my son or your son is behaving the way what I just described, practically you do the same thing what this father did. Right? So we do not have patience. So to raise children requires a lot of patience. If you really want to give them the good values and bring them as a good citizen, it requires a lot of patience. Right? So that is what the Lord was telling. You have to keep patience. And the same thing we saw in the drama as well. Very wonderful drama that we just saw, right? They were keeping patience, right? It was almost 1 o'clock in the night. And that's what gave them the faith that, I was able to complete my sankalpa. Right? When they were coming back after so much of disappointments from Boisar, when they came Borivali, the magical thing happened. You have to keep patience. Right? And that's what the Lord was telling them. That you keep patience and you are being sincere, you will achieve everything in your life. But if you are impatient, if you are angry and you become disturbed, you cannot achieve your goal. So while telling all these things, the Lord said, this complete thing that, you have to churn it, you have to make a treaty with them. So what he was saying, don't be impatient and wait till the end. Don't be greedy as well. Right? So while they were doing this, now what happens? They all go to Bali Maharaj and they were completely following what Lord has told them. They were insulting, all the demons were insulting left, right and center. Treaty ki baat kar raha hai, ye kar raha hai, wo kar raha hai, right? But they were completely patient. After that, what happens? They all go to Mandara Mountain, lift it. And they were carrying it. They were very enthusiastic. So this is called what? Arambhesura. They are very enthusiastic in the beginning. But after some time, you cannot manage it. So if you want to achieve something in life, you need to have a persistent enthusiasm. Not a temporary enthusiasm. Temporary, anybody can be enthusiastic. I'll do this, as we saw in the drama as well, right? It's so amazing, how drama is getting connected as well, right? We'll do 200, 300, but if you are not persistent enthusiasm, you will lose and you will conclude, now it's enough, we cannot do it, right? So what happens? They were doing it, and then suddenly what happened? When they, they were crushed under the mountain, some of them died, some of them had broken limbs, what happens? The Lord comes and glances upon them. After glancing, what happens? They will come back to the life. Their limbs were completely all right. So what the demigods were doing? They were being grateful to the Lord. But what did the demon do? I think it's everything happened by chance. It's a chance that, like, you know, we became all right. It's a chance that, like, you know, my broken arm is all right. Right? Similarly, we see in this world, people are so agnostic, people are so atheistic that, you know, God doesn't exist. Everything is happening by chance. They are sitting at the seashore, they are looking at the sun, and still they say everything is happening by chance. The person, can you imagine a person who proposed a theory of chance? Is that by chance? Not at all. He's working so hard to prove his theory. Or by chance. Everything is happening by chance. And can you imagine he gets his PhD? Is that by chance? No. Somebody comes and awards him the PhD. There is a whole convocation ceremony happens there. Right? And he has to defend his thesis and everything. Where he's saying everything is happening by chance. And this person is awarding him a PhD by chance. No, it doesn't happen by chance, right? Since the one fool proposed the chance theory and another fool is awarding him the chance. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense at all. But this is what is going on in this world. They're saying everything is happening by chance. And they do not have any faith in the Lord, even though they see so many things. Like, you know, you just go to the Vrindavan garden that we have and you just see the fishes and the colors of the fishes. You just wonder, who is that who created this? It's very simple. You see the rose, right? If somebody makes a beautiful painting of the rose, you immediately ask, who is the painter? But when you see the real rose, can you not ask that simple question, who created this rose? That the painting of the rose does not have even the smell of the rose. But the real rose has a smell as well, and the texture as well. But there we don't ask that question, who created it? But when we see this beautiful rose painting, we say, who created it? It's a natural, right? So why can't we be so natural about this as well? It's so easy to understand. Can you imagine if you ask somebody that, you know, prove God does not exist? It takes, like, you know, crazy minds to prove that God doesn't exist. But it's so easy to accept that the God exists. There's so many things. There's a whole GOSD course. You should take it if you have not taken it. It's an amazing. There's a whole section. Who is God and whether does God exist or not. They completely talk about whether God exists or not for almost 2 hours. To convince you with so many examples and everything. So it's so wonderful. So now the Lord have, like, you know, got them. And what the Lord did after that, he put the mountain on the Garuda. Now, do you think that the Garuda can manage the weight of Mandara mountain, which is so huge? But what to speak of just holding it. It flew with that mountain on his back and came all the way to Milk Ocean. How is that possible? That is possible only because the Lord empowers. Without Lord's empowerment, we cannot do anything. As they say, even the blade of grass cannot move without the will of the Lord. So if Lord desires, the Garuda can carry that such a huge mountain on its back, Mandara mountain. So similarly, whatever we can do, I can sit over here and speak to all of you, it is by God's grace. It is not my own ability. It is not my own ability. It is the Lord's empowerment that happens. Without that, we cannot do anything. And when we achieve so many things in this life, we feel it's because of me. And when something goes wrong, tabhi hum ghanti bajate hain. Bhagwan, kahan hai tu? It's a very wonderful thing. Actually, I just remembered, it just came to my mind. There's a very wonderful tennis player, I forgot his name. He was, like, you know, winning the title one after another, the world champion and everything. And he had a big following, he had a big fan club. And I think in his late 50s or something, he contracted a cancer, very deadly cancer. And all the fan following were, like, you know, writing him and being sympathizing with him and, like, you know, saying that it's so bad that you got a cancer. Like, you know, why did God did this to you? Like, you know, it's not fair. You've been so nice. You've been winning so many titles and so many things. Why? So, like, you know, so many letters that he was getting about why God did this to you. So then he wrote to all his fan following, very wonderful thing. Because he was the believer of God, because he was a somewhere or the other devotee. He wrote to all his fan club saying that when I won my first title, I did not ask God, why you are doing this to me? I got my second title. I did not ask the Lord, why you are giving this title to me? I became the most rich and famous. That time I did not ask the Lord, why me? Why not my neighbor? I became the world champion. That time also I did not ask the Lord, why only me? So what right do I have now that I have got cancer? What right do I have to ask the Lord, why me? It's a fantastic thing, right? That he told to all his fan following. And it's an amazing message that anybody can give. Right? So that's very, very important that we must understand whatever is happening in our life is through the empowerment of the Lord. We cannot do anything on our own. In this Bhagavad Gita also, right? When the whole battle was over, you know, Lord asked Arjuna to get down first. And Arjuna was wondering, why me? Lord, you get down first. After you, right? As etiquette you say, right? After you, sir. So Arjuna was also very, full of manners. So he said, Lord, after you. Lord says, no, you first get down. So they were arguing and Lord says, you just get down. And he got down. And as soon as the Lord got down from the chariot, the whole chariot burned to ashes. So that's where Arjuna realized that it's not me who was fighting the war. It's Lord who was fighting the war and who took all these things and managed it within this chariot. It was not me. It was the Lord who fought the war. So that's where the empowerment comes. And the true devotee understands that. And lives by this particular principle that the Lord empowers. So now, when this is happening, they were all going and coming to this wonderful milk ocean, and they started churning. So there was a dispute between the demigods and the demons for what? There was one dispute happened between them. Who will hold the front part? Right? They were holding the front part And the demigod, the demon says, we want to hold the front part. So the similar thing happens in our life also. Because we also have the demoniac qualities. Right? Earlier, if you see, it's an interesting observation. Earlier, you see, the demons and the demigods, they were living on the different planets. Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were on a different planet. And the Lord came from the different planet to fight with them. And then as the progress, from Satyuga to Treta Yuga, right? They were existing, but in a different countries, right? Sri Lanka, Ayodhya, they were in the different countries. But then time progress, you come to Dwapar Yuga, Duryodhana and Arjuna, so the demons and Devatas were living in the same city. But in Kali Yuga, the demon and the demigods live in the same body. Right? We have the demonic qualities and the divine qualities. Right? There's a whole chapter in Bhagavad Gita. Demoniac and the divine natures. Right? There's a whole chapter on that. So like that, they were fighting that who will get the front part. And the demigods agreed, okay, you hold it. But similarly, we also have some of the demonic qualities saying that I want to do the prime services where the things are visible. Maybe something I want to give lecture like this, or I want to go out on book distribution. Because in the temple, right after the Mangala Arati, your scores will be coming up. This and this Prabhu did so many books, Hari Bol. This and this Mataji sold so many books, distributed so many books, Hari Bol, right? So these are all prime, but if somebody asks, Prabhu, can you just do a pocha on a Monday? Maybe you got to do it a pocha on a Sunday because so many devotees are there thinking, oh, Prabhu is so humble, He does such a menial service. But if somebody asks you, can you come and do it on Monday or a working day where nobody is practically except Shri Radha Gopinath and all the deities that we have, right? So you say, no, I can't do this, right? And even during the Kirtan also, Kirtan is also another prime service that you want to do, right? So in that also we have some festival like Pushya Abhishek or like, you know, Sharad Purnima. So we have a whole slot starting from 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So what do we say? Give me the prime time, okay? Don't give me like, you know, this afternoon time where hardly 10, 15 devotees are there, right? So we have all these propensities, all these demoniac qualities. You know, we just want to do this prime service. And sometimes we go up to so level that it's actually a true incident happened that, you know, there's one kirtan here who came and like, you know, it's going to build up and it's going to lead a long time kirtan. So the mic was not there initially. So they asked, Prabhu, just start the kirtan because, you know, we have already some 10, 15 devotees. He says, no, Prabhu, I can't sing without mic. I need a mic. So he says, Prabhu, the mic is coming and the devotees will start filling up very soon. The mic will be arranged in next half an hour, but like, you know, as we have already some devotees here, can you just start, Prabhu? He says, no, sorry, Prabhu, I can't sing without mic. So like, you know, like conditional devotional services. And there is another true story that happened at the time of Srila Prabhupada was like, you know, there were book distributors who were feeling really proud about their services, you know. So, and the devotees who were serving in the kitchen were looked down upon, you know, this kitchen service, what, you can't do anything, just do some cooking, you know. But we are the one who go out and, like, you know, convince people and give them the Bhagavatam set and this set and we can, like, you know, distribute thousands of books. So one day, what happened is they went to the kitchen to get their breakfast because, you know, they have to leave at 9 o'clock and come back at 9 in the night. So they all went to the kitchen to get their breakfast to, like, you know, head out for their book distribution seva. So while they were there and they were, like, you know, seeing that there were no plates, nothing, they don't see big vessels where they used to serve prasadam. He says, what's happening? Like, you know, where are all these kitchen devotees? Like, you know, they were shouting and he says, I don't know. Somebody came and says, we don't know where they are. Maybe they were sick or something. No idea. He says, okay, we are getting late, you know. We have to go and this, like, you know, all these rush hours during that we have to distribute the books. So they asked each other, like, anybody knows how to cook or whatever? He says, no. He says, I have seen couple of times devotees cooking, but I don't know how to cook. Another said, you know, I have seen my mother cooking when I was, like, you know, 10 year old. So they were wondering, like, you know, okay, what do we do now? So he said, okay, you know, you have seen devotees cooking, right? So you have some idea. Okay. So another devotee says, I know how to steer. Like, you know, I'll be able to steer something. I said, okay. I think we will be good. Like, you know, as they were very passionate and aggressive devotees, they said, yes, we can do this. So they all went and started doing this. You know, they were making a simple khichdi, right? So they did it and this time to come to serve, it all, the khichdi was not coming out because it was stuck to the bottom. You know, so somehow they scraped it and like, you know, they were serving. And they could not eat a single morsel. It was so horrible. It was so horrible. So now they were wondering, what do we do? Because, you know, without empty stomach, you can't even function. You know, it's, you get a headache and so many things. And while they were in such a predicament, the devotees, the kitchen devotees, they came with big pots because there was some issue with the gas or something over there or something was not working. So they all went to the neighbors to cook. So they came with these, like, you know, big pots and when they served it, they really liked it and they were like, you know, so happy. So that time they realized that, like, you know, what important this kitchen seva is, you know. So there is no seva which is small or big. But it is our demoniac qualities that makes us think that, you know, this is a, like, you know, nice seva that I want to do, the prime seva and things like that. And when they were fighting, there's another thing that happened. And that's what we see many times that's happening too as well, is while they were doing this, there was a dispute, right? Who will hold the front part of the snake, right? So demon said, if you're not giving us the front part of the snake, we are not participating. Boycott. We'll not do this, right? So the similar thing, Karna said, right? That if Bhishma is there, I'm not going to fight. Isn't it? So similarly, in our case also, if this Prabhu is in the team, I don't want to be part of this team. Isn't it? If this person is coming, I am not coming. So these things are demoniac qualities. And why I am telling this graphically? Because I am a victim of this. If I tell you, then I'll remember that, you know, if I ask you to do this, then I must do this as well. Right? So we have to, like, you know, when we go on repeating these things, we realize these are very, very unhealthy and not required thing. So now what happens? They started churning, right? And what happened in between? The mountain fell, right? So Lord came, Kurma Avatar, right? And like, you know, it was, actually while this was happening, the Lord was getting a very wonderful massage on his back, you know, as a mountain. So whatever Lord does is so wonderful, always. Okay. So while this was happening, it fell, right? So Lord came and lifted up. And after that, everything was right. The Lord was on the top. What came? The first thing? Halahal. The poisonous thing. And what, can you imagine when these things come, we shamelessly go and ask somebody to help us? But it has a very wonderful lesson as well. A positive lesson out of that is, whenever you are in trouble, go and approach a senior Vaishnava. They will be able to help you. How Lord Shiva was able to help. If the situation is out of your control, do not hesitate to go and approach a senior Vaishnava. There is always a solution with senior Vaishnavas, and they will be able to help you. Right? And what we learn from Lord Shiva is, whoever is coming to you for help, you should always be ready to help, because by helping others, you are actually pleasing the Lord. You are actually pleasing the Lord. And another important lesson that we learn from this particular event is the key to success of Grihastha Ashram. No matter how big you are, no matter how many people are worshipping you, right? When they were worshipping, they were just worshipping Lord Shiva, right? They were not just worshipping Mother Parvati also along with that. They were just worshipping Lord Shiva, right? So you may, like, you know, become, wow, people are worshipping me, I am important. But what happened in that episode? What happened in that event? The Lord very humbly seek permission from Mother Parvati. Do I do this? Right? That is very, very important. That the husband and wife share the responsibility. So one should involve in each and every decision. Right? One may think, many times, like, husband thinks, like, you know, they are as heroic as Lord Shiva, right? They think, oh, this is like, you know, business thing. What you're going to understand? You're just a housewife. What are you going to understand? Right? Oh, this is a, like, you know, completely political thing. What are you going to understand? So you don't even share. I'm just confessing right now, okay? You don't even share. You wonder, like, you know, what you're going to, what knowledge you have of this subject matter, right? No, it's not like that. She's called Ardhangani. She has all right to know each and everything that is happening in your life and the decisions that you are going to make. So the success to Grihastha Ashram is husband and wife together takes the decision. And it's vice versa, not just wife alone takes the decision. Wife also should involve the husband. That's the key to success. It's very, very important. I know it's getting late. I'll just conclude in next 5 minutes. Okay? So, while this was happening, and Lord Shiva, as he helped others, and believe me, I don't know whether you have experienced or not, but when you start helping others, your heart becomes soft, actually. Even when you try to help a beggar as well, believe me, your heart becomes soft. Many times we wonder that, you know, if I give that person a money, you know, hatta katta to dikh raha hai yaar, kya jaake kaam karna, kya kar raha hai, you know, bhik kyu mang raha hai. But that is not, none of our business, right? And even if it is our business, will you be able to give him a job? Will you be able to, like, you know, do something about it? Then do something. That's fantastic. Nothing like it. But, you know, we are always in hurry. I don't know why. Even though we are not taking shelter of hurry, we are in hurry. It's just amazing, you know. Something we see is so, like, you know, many times we see, like, you know, there's a big accident, but we feel we are late or we don't even realize somebody's going to die. You know, if I can be of some help. Right? So it's always good to help others. Believe me, our heart becomes very soft. And there's a one small story, it's a big story, but I'll just tell it in short. I don't know how many of you know about Sindhu Thai. You should check out on the web as well. Just type in Sindhu Thai. And there's a nice movie also on her in Marathi. If you know Marathi, you must watch that movie. it will really churn your heart like this milk ocean. So this lady was like, you know, staying in the village, like, you know, not knowing much, completely illiterate kind of. And the husband was elderly and, like, you know, mistreating her. She was expecting, and some rumors came, and, like, you know, that your wife is trying to oversmart and all these things. So the husband lost her temper and he kicked her out of the home. She practically delivered the child in the cow shed. And with that child, she was, like, you know, going around. And because she was a young lady trying to save herself from the, like, you know, demonic people, she used to live in the smashan, you know, just to save herself. And then, like, you know, doing this, and she was on the railway platforms and other things, trying to beg or something like that. And she used to, whatever she used to get, like, you know, she was trying to feed her child. At that time, she saw few other children as well. She was having a vada pav in her hand. You know, somebody gave her that. So she practically shared that vada pav with four other children, with one vada pav. She could have given that one vada pav to her child. And it's enough for one child, right? That one thing. But not knowing whether she will get something else, she shared that thing with four others. And like, while sharing that thing, she felt so good. She felt like, you know, I must do this. So after that, whatever she used to get, she just started sharing it. So just because she had that noble heart, Lord helped her to get more and more things. And like, you know, somehow or other, she ended up with the big Anath Ashram. And she started helping so many kids who were orphaned, and like, you know, enrolling them into their Anath Ashram. And to a, like, you know, the climax is, like, you know, that Anath Ashram eventually gave shelter to her husband as well. So can you imagine the kind of heart that lady has? The one who kicked her out when she was expecting, she gave shelter to the same person. It's such an amazing heart. So that's something, we may not be of the same level, but at least we can follow in the footsteps of such people. And we can develop that, like, you know, the sharing thing with others. It's very, very important. So this was happening. Lord Shiva did this. And after this, like, you know, just doing a little fast forward. So if you observe this one thing in this whole episode, right, there is always something or the other was happening, you know, some obstacle after the another, right? They were holding it, it fell, mountain fell in the ocean, like, you know, they were not able to churn it. There was a whole smoke coming out, fire coming out, so many things. The poison came out. There were the one obstacle after another. But what is important is somehow or other they continued. Right? So what the lesson to be learned from this whole episode as a whole is, no matter what, there is something or the other happening in your life. But you should never ever give up. Never ever give up. That is one very, very important lesson that we learn from this. And I will conclude with one of the story of Srila Prabhupada. Is, as, like, you know, we are all going to see the wonderful movie on 15, 16, 17 and further as well. So my humble request is, do not miss this movie. It can change your life. Even if you are a devotee, you go out and see that movie, it can, like, you know, advance you further. It's going to be a fantastic thing. So we are all looking forward for it. And if you are new to this, I humbly request, please, please do not miss this opportunity. So we'll conclude with Srila Prabhupada's story. So Srila Prabhupada was like in Vrindavan, and one of the accommodation that he has got, he has a veranda, and he would like to get his massage in the veranda. And he used to translate also, like, you know, in the early morning hours. So the servant, personal servant of Srila Prabhupada, was giving Prabhupada the massage. So Prabhupada told that, like, you know, all these birds, they're making a lot of noise in the morning hours when I'm trying to translate Srimad Bhagavatam or trying to write things. So you should do something about it. So he saw that, okay, so devotee was smart. So he was trying to find a root cause. What is happening here? Why these birds are here? So he figured out that they were trying to build a nest here. So that's why, like, you know, this is what is happening. So he saw in the one kind of a little hole, there was, like, you know, some straws and stuff like that. So what he did, he said, okay, let me just empty this out. So bird will come and they will see, oh, nothing is in here. So they feel that, you know, they will go away. So he took everything out from that hole. Next day, to his surprise, they were coming up with more straws, even though it was empty. So he was wondering, what do I do? So he saw some paper lying here and there. So he took the paper and make a ball out of it, and he blocked that hole altogether. He says, now I think I found a solution. They'll be completely all right. So while he did that, he was completely confident. But to his great surprise again, the bird came and tried to put a beak and try to get this thing out. But of course, the one bird cannot do it. So he got another few birds with him, and tried to get this. So of course, with four or five birds, they could bring this out. And my God, he was just shocked. What do I do now? It's like completely failure after failure. So finally, he figured out what I'm going to do now. He got some wooden block of the same size of that hole, and he just blocked it. He just blocked it. And the next time, the birds came, few birds came along with that bird. They were not successful too, because it's a wood, right? You can't take it out. So the birds flew away. So then he went and informed Srila Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, I did this. And now, are you hearing any noise of birds? He says, no, very nice that you did. But then Prabhupada taught him a lesson. Prabhupada gave him a lesson. That he explained what exactly he did, right? Because they like to get more mercy from Srila Prabhupada, right? So he told everything. First I took the straws out, then I put a paper ball, and then finally I put this wooden thing. So Prabhupada says, yeah, very good, but there is a lesson to be learned. Similarly, in our life as well, we are like this living entity. We are like this bird, like the living entity is like that bird, trying to do so many things. But you are like the orchestrator of the demigods, or the destiny who takes things away from the living entity. So we as a living entity try to do so many things, and we wonder why this is not working. Who is spoiling my plan? Why this is happening? But we do not know that there is a higher power, like this devotee. For a bird, there is a higher power in the form of a devotee who was taking away his things and not realizing it, that what's happening, right? There's a complete block through the thing. So sometimes also we go through so much of difficulty, and we figured out and we solved that difficulty, and we feel that, wow, I did it, right? None that we know that is actually the orchestration by the higher powers. And we are just thinking like that bird, I do this, I'll be happy. But it's not like that. Many times we feel that there is so many problems with this body. And Prabhupada, very smartly he said, it's not that your body has so many problems. The body itself is a problem. The matter of fact that we are in this body is a problem. So we have to work in such a way that our mind is like this milk ocean. Okay, and our steady consciousness is like that churning rod, and our desires are like this vasuki, the churning rope. Okay, and we have to churn in such a way that all these impurities are going to come up. Many times we hear from devotees that, when I started chanting, actually my mind became more unsteady. Well, that's going to happen. That's what this whole... I hope that person understands and learns from this churning of milk ocean, or at least hears about this milk ocean. When you start churning, that's where all these living entities within got perturbed and got agitated. So far we were identifying ourselves with the mind. So where is the question of agitation? We feel everything is all right. But when you start chanting, you feel, oh my God, my mind is going here, my mind is going there. Why I'm getting so many bad thoughts? Earlier I was not getting it. He did not realize earlier he was identifying himself with the bad thoughts. Right now he's identifying himself different from the bad thoughts. That's why he's thinking that, why am I getting this? That is why this churning process is very, very important. And as Lord says, don't be fearful, don't be angry, and don't be greedy. So similarly, while churning, what's going to happen? The poisonous things will come out. So many bad things will come out. So we don't have to be fearful. We should continue to churn through the holy names. We should continue to churn our mind with the steady consciousness. And when we churn, a lot of other things will come out, like white horse, white elephant, Airavat, all these things, Parijata tree, Surbhi cow, all things will come up. Like this means what? In our life also, when we start chanting, with all this churning, what's going to happen? We also become empowered. We also going to get a lot of glories. We also going to get a lot of things, lot of material possessions in our life, which we're not even entitled to get. But just because of this churning process, you will get this. So we should not be greedy. And along with that, we should not be angry. And along with that, what we have to do? We have to keep patience. So with patience, if we keep churning, what's going to happen? All these impurities will go away. All these so-called purities will also go away. And finally, we'll be able to get the nectar. And what is that nectar? The nectar of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we should continue to churn, because right now we may not be feeling the nectar of the holy name, though even it's a nectar. But if we continue to churn enough, as you can see, it did not happen immediately. Right? It took such a long time. Such a long time. And what attracts is our endeavor. We continue to churn, and there is a chance that the Lord personally will come and start churning your heart. And you will taste the nectar of the holy name. That's very, very important. So thank you so much for your kind listening, and thank you so much for allowing me to speak. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
I'm sorry, I took a lot of time. I think I might have gone over time.